Say, you look good today. Woo! Man, I love it. And the air conditioning's working in case you didn't notice. Got it fixed this last week, and thank the Lord, because today's supposed to be the hottest day ever. And so I love Austin. It's so great. It just never knows what it wants to be, because tomorrow it might snow. You just never know. We're so blessed to have Mike and Terry McComb here, who are missionaries that we support in Guatemala. Stand on up. These are some of our amazing missionaries that give their life for Jesus in Guatemala, and we love them. We support them as a church. So when you give, it goes towards them, and I'm so excited for what God is going to do. So after service, if you want to connect with them, find out more about what God's doing in their ministry there, or just go and hang out with them. There's lots of opportunities for what God wants to do, but I just love the fact that they came and joined us today. Well, let's get into the Word, shall we? It's time, man. There's a good excitement in the atmosphere, and I'm gonna take that and run with it. So we've been in a series called Influencer, and God has designed each and every one of us to be an influencer in the area that He's put us. And my prayer and my hope today is, as we jump into this, is that you would recognize what God's put in you. And how extraordinary it is, and that where He's placed you is a place where you get to influence people towards Him. And so this series has been so much fun for us. And if you haven't had a chance to hang out and listen to it, you can go online, expressionchurch.com, and go to our messages and check it out. We've got a YouTube channel. On Sunday mornings, we go live. And so there's lots of opportunities. So when you're not here, you're on a trip or you're on vacation, you can check us out. And let's pray. Father, we just thank You for what You're doing in this place. Lord, we thank You for what you've asked us to be a part of. And we say yes today to You. And we thank You that we get to do life with people we love, like, and trust. And what a privilege it is, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that You would speak through me. And that, God, our hearts would be open to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. And the writer of Hebrews is connecting us now to the second generation after Abraham. So this is Abraham's son, Isaac. And it's one verse. But this one verse makes a statement for us. It makes a statement that Isaac has experienced something with God that causes him to be confident in his blessing toward his children. And he says this: it was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future of his sons, Jacob and Esau. Isaac saw something and experienced something that allowed him to be able to declare a blessing upon his children, because he knew what God wanted to do. The story starts in Genesis chapter 26, and this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time. As we see, Isaac is now, he's carrying on kind of what his father started, but many times I think whether we're the first generation believer or a second generation believer, there's this moment where we have to kind of make a decision where we find ourselves. Everybody does. Whether you moved here for a job and that job stopped, now you have to make a decision: what are we about and what are we doing? And whether, depending on what season of life you're in, whether you're graduating from high school or middle school, or you're transitioning in a new season of life, there's this aspect of asking God, Lord, what do You have for me? But what's crazy is the story of Isaac really speaks to us today about what we do when things don't look good. And so here's how the story starts. Genesis chapter 26, starting with verse 1. A severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, and decrees and instructions. And verse 6 is where we start our first point of today. So Isaac stayed. It doesn't make any sense why Isaac would stay. As you see, there's a severe famine in the land. The good stuff has seemed to dry up. I think maybe whether it's in church or it's a job or whether we feel it maybe in our marriage, there's this season and time where we feel like the good stuff, the reason why we liked it, the reason why we got into it has seemed to dry up. And it's in that moment that we think to ourselves, man, I've heard about a better place. I didn't even know that I could trade in my wife for another one. I didn't know that I could go find a different job. And I think in our society, there's so much of this, well, it's dried up here, let's go somewhere else, that it's kind of become prevalent that it's okay to just kind of wander. And what I love in this moment is that God comes to visit Isaac as he's making a decision. Yeah. It's dried up here. I don't have any relationships. We used to live somewhere else, And now where we are, it's a different season. And I think so many times we mistake dried up for us to leave. And God connects something for Isaac. He connects the decision for him to stay based on covenant. You see, covenant is so important because it connects us to the bigger purpose that God has for us. You see, because of Jesus, we now are covenant children of the Most High God, which means that every time God promises something, it's connected to us. So in the midst of famine, and then it connects it to you're a foreigner. In other words, this isn't even your home. How many of you have moved to Austin from somewhere else? This isn't even our home. Those who were born in Austin are like unicorns now. Hoyt, where is Hoyt? Okay, we've got a couple of unicorns. How many of you were born in Austin? Let's find the unicorns in the room. All right. I think when you feel like you don't belong, there's that aspect of that you show up and it feels like you're on the outside looking in. I don't know about you, but I hate that feeling. Yeah. I hate showing up to a meeting and everybody knows what's going on and you're the guy on the outside. And typically that creates uncomfortability. So here, Isaac is in a land that is dried up and he's a foreigner. This is not his home. So I don't know about you, but that's the time I get out of Dodge. I want to blame the ground, and I want to say, listen, I just don't feel like I'm a part. There's nothing like being a part of a group of people that it seems like everybody knows what's going on except for you. And so we typically make excuses for the reason why we don't want to show up. People all of a sudden make weird things about church, and well, God just knows, and I'm just going to stay at home and watch a pastor on TV and sit in my living room. Do you know what happens when you do that? You get weird. Because we were designed to be in a relationship. Yeah, it's easy. But in the place where the ground is dry and in the place where you feel like a foreigner, that's the place that God connects you with covenant. What does that mean? I want to read you in Galatians chapter 4, and I'm just going to put the stool away because I'm really excited. I drank a lot of coffee right before I got up here. Galatians 4, verses 6-7. Look at this. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And now you are no longer a slave, but God's own children. And since you are his children, God has made you his heir. So you got to get this. Isaac is now in this land. The ground is dried up. There's a severe famine. And this doesn't feel like home. But yet this is the place that God is calling him to stay. But when God speaks of the stay, he connects it to who he is. Because if you don't know who you are, it's overwhelming to stay. But when you're walking in the land as a son and a daughter of the Most High, and all the promises of God are for you, you don't see the dry ground, and you don't see that you're not connected to anybody. You're walking in a different place. We have to have that connection to his covenant, his promise for us. So that means you can actually walk into places that feel uncomfortable, but you don't see what your soul normally sees, which is like, everybody doesn't like me. I don't fit in. They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. That's not the question we should be asking. Is this the place that God wants me to be? Whether there's famine, whether I'm a foreigner, he wants to connect me to who I am. Which means I can step into any room. Dry, pruned up, everybody. Listen. When I first came to Austin and I began to look at all the websites of all the preachers in town, and everybody had all these degrees and doctorates and lawyers that had been called into ministry and preaching, and I was like, oh God, I'm a kids pastor. I graduated from Bible college barely. Took me 5 years. It's amazing how we want to create an excuse for the reason why we shouldn't stay where God has put us. And God immediately said to me, he says, they didn't pick you. I think we love that validation. Somehow, because you got the title at your job, that it's going to make you feel better that you're in the room. By the way, go ahead, get the title. It doesn't change how you feel inside. You're still going to try to manipulate the whole scene. This is what you do all day long. And everyone's like, he's so weird. God needed Isaac to act like a son, regardless of what he saw. Because there was something that he wanted to build that he was going to pass on to his children. And so he connected it to covenant. He connected it to relationship. He connected it to his promise. This is who I am. Because of Jesus, we are now sons and daughters of the Most High, and the promises of God are for us. Amen. Which means we get to walk in a dry and weary land where we are foreigners, and yet we can still walk with purpose. We can still engage what God has for us, regardless of what we see and who doesn't like us. Well, I come and no one says hi. Then you must be coming in the back door, because I got greeters that'll say hi to at least 50 people and say hi like 10 times. I got people coming to church, man, dude, like, can you tell them to relax a little bit? Like, I had like 5 people offer me a mint. Like, my breath is smelly or something? Like, what's going on? But it's interesting when we're in a place where we feel like we're a foreigner and the ground feels dry, we immediately assume that it's time for us to go. And my first point that I've been on this whole time is that even in the midst of all of that, God connected Isaac to covenant, and that covenant shaped his response. I will stay. Influencers stay regardless of what they see. Because they're connected to covenant. And covenant is God-initiated promise for his sons and his daughters. And the verse I just read, in case you didn't realize it, regardless of how you feel inside or what your mama told you when you were a kid, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you become a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And he's like me. There's nothing you can do that can stop him coming after you. My second point to my message this morning is based out of Genesis chapter 26, verse 12, which is the following paragraph after Isaac decided to stay. And it says this: when Isaac planted his crops that year, what year? What was happening in that year? A drought, a famine. Just so we're clear, I'm just making sure you guys are with me because you're probably getting hungry. When Isaac planted his crops that year, there's a reason why the author used those words, because sometimes we don't connect the dots. He harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. Influencers so generously in the hard place. I know it's easy when you feel like the ground's hard and you feel like you're a foreigner and you don't have the title and people aren't calling your name when you're walking in. I realize it's difficult to cultivate relationship. It's difficult to give of your time, treasure, and talent in a place where you feel like, I don't really know where I belong. And listen, I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about every aspect of our life. When we feel like the ground is dried up and we feel like I don't know if I can do any more in this relationship. Unreconcilable differences. What I love about Isaac and I love about what God is doing in this moment and what he's speaking to us today about being an influencer is that even when the ground is hard, what are we going to base how we walk on this earth from? What we see or God's covenant promise to us? Thank you, Ryan Matthews. He sowed generously in the hard place. Many of us don't want to sow because we're looking for the perfect conditions. We feel like we need to wait and see, almost convincing ourselves to be stingy. Sowing is less about the soil and more about the faith of the farmer. Biblically speaking, I'm sure that doesn't work in real day life. But the reason why God connects the faith of Isaac in this moment is because it takes faith to sow in a place that you feel like you don't belong and the ground feels like all it does is cause the seed to bounce off. I've watched so many people when it comes to relationship go, nobody is responding to me. Nobody wants me as their friend. How come nobody asks me out for lunch? I'll just tell you right now, I'm not going to ask you out to lunch. But here's the thing. Maybe it's not about us being asked out to lunch. I know. I'm kind of messing with you a little bit. But I'm trying to prepare us for God's big stuff in our life. And I think if I want to reap a harvest of just a little bit that I sowed, that I get back more than I even gave, I think we've got to learn to sow. And sow into relationships that may seem even hard. Sow into a place where you feel like you don't fit. Stick it out and watch God do the miraculous. Rather than it being about you and what you prefer, maybe it's about what God wants to do through you in this place. So don't be stingy with what he's put in you, even if it's just one talent. Even if it's just three, whatever, and I love what Mary Ann said, whatever it is, you begin to sow that into people because God says, when you step out in faith, I will get behind the little bit that you sow. So all of a sudden, your time, treasure, and talent begins to shift because you're not trying to convince yourself for the reason why you don't want to. So, well, they're not very nice, or they don't look like me, or, you know, I've done that once or twice, and they don't really respond. They don't text me back. That's why he started the whole thing connected to who you are. Because there's going to be moments where it feels like people don't want what you have. They don't want your investment. But we have to make a decision, not based on the hardness of the ground or the atmosphere, but based on where God has called us to be. And then I know I'm going to stay. Therefore, my response is going to be, I will sow. And I'm not talking about money, but that's a part of it. I'm talking really honestly more about the way we approach everything that we do. And I think there's a hardness about people that impact us in ways that it shouldn't. And just because someone gives you a cold shoulder and someone responds the way they do to you, doesn't mean that it gives us the right to ghost them. To walk away from the relationship because no one reached out to you. According to my Bible, no one reached out to Isaac. Come on. Yeah. No, there was no welcome wagon when Isaac showed up and like, Isaac, Isaac. The ground didn't go, Isaac, place some seed in us because we're really fertile. Everything around him said, go away. And he had to make a decision that this is where God's called me, based on the covenant of relationship. Therefore, I'm going to walk as a son and a daughter of the Most High, and I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to put it in this ground, because he told me this is where I belong. Yeah. Woo.
All right. You know, I get real excited when I start yelling. I'm sorry. Yeah, preaching my face off. Ooh, good thing we got the air conditioning on. It's hot up here. Okay, last and final point. Genesis 26. So in case you're trying to make points, because everyone complains that I don't really make them clear. First is stay. Second is sow. Okay? Okay. I was dyslexic. It doesn't matter what you say. I'm going to jumble it all up anyways. Okay. Genesis 26, the context of that, you don't have to put it quite up yet. The context of that is that Isaac has now gone to some wells to draw water for his sheep. And at these wells, two things have happened. He's either been kicked out, told not to go back to that well, or they've put dirt in that well so that he couldn't go back to it. The land really wants him there. And I love Isaac's response and then his declaration of his encounter. And look what it is. And my point three is influencers keep digging. Genesis 26, abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place where's Chad? Rahaha. Yeah, there you go. Should have figured that out before I got up here, but I didn't. For he said, at last, the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. I'm just going to read that again because it's so good. Influencers keep digging. Why? Because the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. I'm just going to say this. If God has called you to a place
and it feels like what you're doing in that place isn't working, you just keep digging. And I love, he just, okay, that's not it, but let's try this. And sometimes you just keep trying because you know it's where you belong, so you just keep digging. You keep mining the relationship even though it seems like it's a dry well. You keep mining what God has for you in that place because you're refusing to let what you see dictate what you do. I'm a digger. And there's something about digging that there's this faith that you know that something's going to break. And I think, don't give up on the first try. Try it again. And try it again. So maybe that didn't work, but that doesn't mean you stop digging. What I love about Isaac is the whole connection of this story is he actually walked it out. He didn't just go sit in his room and go, okay, Lord, this is where you've called me to be. Now just make it all wonderful, okay? It's just going to be all worked out. And then the moment hard times come, we're like, oh, God, you've left me. I mean, we read the story where he sowed, but somehow, somewhere, he had to, like, go navigate getting seeds. He was determined to work it out in that place. The first well, they kicked him out of. The second one, they covered with dirt. Oh, that's just the glance. They hate me here. Nobody likes me. I'm out. So the one influencer that God put in that place has now just left the building. Don't let those things around you dictate where you go. Keep digging. And if you need help, by the way, call a digger. John Carr. Where is he? Just call him. His number, I'm putting it up on the board behind me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I think that's what's so good about community. And my wife says it, when you're in your low, when you're about this far away from actually the water breaking out, but you've dug so far, it feels like there's no way water's ever coming. It's just like the devil. You're one shovel full away from water starting to rise, but it's usually at that place that you finally give up. And sometimes you just need to call somebody and go, man, I've been digging and I can't digs no more. And they come over because they haven't been digging in that well, but they've dug their own well and they realized that someone helped them. And so they show up with like special tools. They show up with this like long crowbar with a pointy thing on the end, and they start breaking up the ground. And you're like, where has that been? Another guy shows up with a backhoe with a giant arm that just goes. You're like, I did this by hand. Yeah, sometimes we need to dig for a while. But in community, it gives us the opportunity to call people and do it together. I close with this verse because it's red now in my time. And the band's behind me, and you're hungry. And I'm going to go hang out with our amazing missionaries, have some lunch with them. I'm so glad they're here. Lord, bless them. Bless what they're doing. God, they're not alone. I thank you, Lord. I pray that people's lives would be transformed and they would build a community there that would be life-giving. I thank you for a new season for them, God. That what they have felt like they've dug for so long, I thank you that water is coming. We keep digging in prayer. We keep digging in God's word. We keep digging in relationship. We keep digging and trying new things. We keep going until there is a flow because there is a wide open space for you to live here.
Second Corinthians 9 in the Message Bible, and this is the verse that I'm going to close with. So why don't you stand and check this out. This is really, really good. This is in the Message. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting, because God loves it when the giver delights in giving. God can pour out a blessing in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. So one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy and reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. That's good, right? Austin has not even yet seen a group of people who are connected to covenant relationship with the Most High in a ground that's hard. You dig 12 inches down and there's like a layer of limestone. I just watch them digging over here at Hill Country, and I'm like, that much rock came out of the ground? No wonder I can't even get a little sign in the ground this deep. But that doesn't stop, because we got a God that does more than what the ground is supposed to do. And so we become people who become lavish in what we do. Amen? So listen, let's just lift our hands. And I want to pray for you. Maybe you're here for the first time and you don't know Jesus. You don't know this lavish God that can actually turn your circumstances around. The Bible says all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. And then you begin to walk out that relationship every day by being in community, by talking to Him, by using His Word to show you who He is. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Ryan, I don't know about this Jesus, that's okay. Many of us in this place didn't. But we have now, and He's changed our lives. So let's just say together, Jesus, we say yes to You. We thank You for Your forgiveness, for Your love, for Your grace. And today, we choose to stay. Today, we choose to sow. Today, we choose to dig, because we're sons and daughters of the Most High. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place with Your presence. Jesus! Yeah!